Blog Talk Radio.
Let your power fall when your name is called. Prove the doubters wrong. God, you're still mighty and strong. So fight this battle for me and help my unbelief, so I can tell all my friends
you've won again,
that you have won again. Let your power flow. That you have won again. Anybody need the power in here?
We need it.
Come on, let your power fall. When your name is called, will the doubters run? Every time they talked about me, every time they lied on me, God, you're mighty. This is what I need you to do.
Fight this battle.
Fight this battle for me. Anybody needing the price for battles in here? This is what I need you to do, Lord. I can't do it. That you have won again.
You won.
You have won.
Thank you.
You did it again.
Yeah.
I said you have won again.
You have won again.
You brought me out so many
you
times.
Have
never lost a patient.
You're a healer.
I didn't even know how I was gonna make it. But oh,
you pulled me through.
You're a winner. Time after time. My husband could do. You're a champion. You're undefeated. You did it for me. You brought me out. You made a way.
Yes, he did.
Ooh, God knew. I give you glory. I bless your name. I
give him praise.
Because you're wise. Because you're faithful.
Everybody know it's
summer weather.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Vine of glory. Hallelujah.
Welcome to Arise and Shine for Jesus Sunday night worship service. My name is Stacy Lunsford, and I will be sharing the word tonight out of Joshua, the first chapter, and we will start with the first six verses. And I'm going to open up with a word of prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we welcome you into this place. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together to share your word. We thank you for releasing spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We give you all of the honor. We give you all of the glory, and we give you all of the praise. We thank you for the context in which you have called us to be strong and of good courage. We pray, Father God, that you would remove scales from blinded eyes and that you would open our eyes to see what you want us to see and open our ears to hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start. I'm going to open up with the first six verses of Joshua, the first chapter, verses 1 through 6. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. So we have read the first six verses, of Joshua, the first chapter. And our message today is be strong and of good courage. In the beginning of this text, God was encouraging Moses. He was encouraging Joshua to be encouraged. And, you know, Moses had died. And he said, this mourning season is over for you, Joshua. And he was basically saying, it is time for you to get up. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead.
in verse 2. And immediately following that, he said, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So Moses was dead. Moses was Joshua's mentor. Joshua learned so much from Moses. Joshua loved Moses, and after Moses died, he needed to be encouraged because Moses' death, in his death, God passed the baton over to Joshua, who was more than qualified to lead the people into the promised land because he spent quality time with Moses. So if you are grieving tonight, and if you are mourning tonight, God wants you to deal with how you feel. But God wants us to get up and arise from where we are. Now, if you want to arise, that means that you got to move forward. You can't stay where you are. Arise is to make a forward move. And in this text, God was telling Joshua, stand up, get up. Whatever you have to do, it's time to move because there's work to be done. So what does it mean to be strong? And what does it mean to be of good courage? Strong is having the power to move heavy weights or to perform other physically demanding tasks. It's able to perform a specified action well and powerfully. Strong is possessing skills and qualities that create a likelihood of success. So as I was studying strong, the Greek word for strong is found in the Strong's Concordance number 4. And the word is arber, and it means powerful, never failing, eternal, an angel, bull, chiefest, might, or mighty one, stout-hearted or brave, to be valiant. And valiant is possessing or showing courage or determination. So I want you to think about how Joshua felt, witnessing all of the wonderful miracles that God performed through Moses. Also seeing the results of Moses' obedience and also seeing the results of Moses' disobedience and how in a moment of frustration, Moses got upset with the people and he disobeyed God. And as a result, he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And that is why he did not lead the people over the Jordan River. So this responsibility now became Joshua's responsibility. And I can only imagine the fear. And I'm talking about normal fear because I know I've been adequately prepared. I know I've been with Moses, but I see what these people did to Moses. I see how grateful they were. I see how obedient they were at times, but I also see how difficult they were. I also see how they mumbled and grumbled and complained. And I see how they irritated him to no end that he got so frustrated that he disobeyed God. And God knew all of this. And symbolically, God knows everything that we are going through. God knows the things that are on our heart. He knows the things that are on our mind. He knows all of the challenges that we are facing. And God knows what he told you to do for 2020. And the same words that he said to Joshua is the same words that he's saying to us today. Be strong and of good courage. And we have to take our minds off of the people. We have to take our minds off of the circumstances, and we must keep our minds stay on God. Because God said in his word in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, he said that he will keep us in perfect peace as we keep our minds stay on him. But God also gave us some specific promises in his word. And he told Joshua in verse 3, he said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So that is a prophetic declaration. It was not, I may do this for you, or I might do this for you. God was very specific, and he was very strategic when he told Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So as I thought about that scripture, I also thought about Luke, the 10th chapter, and the 19th verse. Because in Joshua, the first chapter, in the third verse, he said, God said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So let's go to Luke, the 10th chapter, for a moment, and look at the 19th verse. And I'm going to give you a moment to get there for those of you that are following along in your Bible. I love the word of God, and I love how God explains things to us and tells us what he has done for us. And it's our job to be in agreement with what God said, because Amos 3 and 3 says, can two walk together except they agree? So in Luke, the 10th chapter, in the 19th verse, it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So, going back to Joshua 1 and verse 3, God told Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. Now, mind you, Joshua is preparing to cross the Jordan River. He is about to enter into the land of milk and honey. And verse 4 says, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. So God was letting him know there are going to be some things in Jordan that you're going to have to deal with. But he let him know in advance. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So in Luke 10:19, we see that God made it perfectly clear to us the kind of power that he has given unto us. And this power is to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And God's promise to us is that nothing shall by any means hurt you. So God was saying, Joshua, I want you to stop crying about Moses. You are qualified. I have anointed you. I have appointed you. I have ordained you to take these people over the Jordan River. And not only did I equip you, I have given you power and I have given you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So God was telling him, and God is telling us, I don't care what you face. I have given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, tonight, some of these scriptures, I'm going to repeat them over and over because we really need to understand what God is saying. We need to understand what it means to tread on something. And I want to go back to Luke, the 10th chapter, in the first verse, but I want to read it in the Amplified version. And it says, listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy. And in parentheses, it says Satan. And nothing will in any way harm you. And verse 20 says, nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. So, what is this power that God has given to us? And what is this authority that God has given to us? And what does it mean to tread on something? What does it mean to tread upon a serpent and to tread upon a scorpion? And when you really think about that, you know, if you see a snake will bite you. And a scorpion can sting you. And both of them have venom that can kill you instantly. And then you have some snakes that are not venomous, but they will constrict you. And they kill their prey by suffocating them. And they squeeze until they stop the circulation of the blood in their bodies. So I really want you to pause and think about that for a moment. Because sometimes we find ourselves in situations where fear will cause us to back up. But God is saying tonight, I want you to be strong and of good courage. Whether you are dealing with a venomous snake, whether you are dealing with a snake that kills its prey by constriction and suffocating them to death, or whether you are dealing with a scorpion that is ready to sting you, God is saying, I have given you power to tread. And tread means to step on. Tread means to walk on. Tread means to go over. Tread means to beat down. Tread means to beat or press with the feet. Tread means to trample. Tread means to subdue or repress as if trampling. And it's to crush. Have you ever play kick the can when you was a little kid? We used to play kick the can. And when you got that can, you had to crush that can and step on it with your foot. And that can would conform to the bottom of your foot, like right in that middle. But where it was open and round, it would be pressed down, compounded. Now, when you crush something, you squeeze or force by pressure so that you can totally destroy the structure of it. So I want you to think about crushing the head of the enemy, crushing the head of a snake, crushing the head of a scorpion, or crushing the head of whatever it is that is attacking you or is a threat to you. Because God said, behold, I have given unto you power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, I want you to subdue completely whatever comes your way. And going back to Joshua, the first chapter, he said, Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, and I'm going to change tread, every place that the sole of your foot shall crush upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So tonight, whatever you are facing, whatever you are going through, not only did God give you power and authority to trample upon it, to crush it, he has already given us the victory. So if he has already given us the victory, why is it that we have to fight sometimes? So I want to point out a little, I want to point out some things that need to be said, because in verse 2, when God told Joshua, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So you see, God was giving Joshua divine directions. He was telling Joshua what he wanted him to do. And really, he was telling them what he was going to do. You see, it was not optional. And in obedience, in Joshua, the 6th chapter, in the 14th verse, it says, in the second day, they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did this 6 days. So not only did Joshua obey God, he was fortified, he was encouraged. And Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. Well, we all know that later on in the book of Joshua, they actually conquered Jericho. And Jericho was a fortress, and the walls were so high, and it was so thick. But by the power of God, they were able to take Jericho. Because God had already told him in verse 3, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So what are the divine directions that God has provided to you? And what kind of spiritual progress are you making? Because as you arise, you will go over. And I'm going to say that again. You see, this is a prophetic declaration that God made in his word. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Nothing else is going to happen right here. I need you to arise. I need you to get up and go over this Jordan. Arise is a prophetic declaration. It's a prophetic instruction. Arise is to get up, to move forward. So wherever you are right now, whatever you're going through, you can't stay parked there. In order for you to obey God's instructions, you must get up and take one step forward, and then you must go over. He said, arise and go over. Go over this Jordan, you and all these people. So who are all of these people? What are the people that God assigned unto you? What job did God give you to do? You see, Joshua was now a leader, and Joshua was in charge of leading the people over the Jordan River, and he was responsible for leading them to their inheritance blessings. And once they got over the Jordan, that's exactly what he did. But you see, God knew he was going to experience some wars, some fights. The ites were there, and he wanted him to be strong and of good courage. So in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, God was letting him know, my word is faithful. You could take me at my word, Joshua. I have already given you the land. And as you walk, know that it belongs to you. And whatever you are going through right now, God wants you to know that he is faithful and that he means what he says. So in the Strong's Concordance, the word that I shared earlier for strong is arbeir. And it means mighty. It means spoken of by God or a mighty one. And the root word for arbeir is found in Strong's number 82. And it's abar, A-W-B-A-R, which is the primary root to soar or to fly. And I need you to stay with me for a moment, because as I started thinking about soaring and flying in the high in the air or rising up high, you see, God said, arise and go over. So when you soar, you are flying, you are up high. And in Hebrew, the word for fly, you can find in Strong's Concordance 6524, which is parak. It's pronounced, it's P-A-R-A-C-H, but it's pronounced parak. And it means to break forth as a bud, to blossom, to spread, specifically to fly, as in extending the wings, or to flourish, to abundantly blossom, to grow, to spread, or to spring up. Now, I'm going to go back to the text for a moment. And I pray that you are being blessed, because God said, be strong and of good courage. In verse 6, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So as we go back to soar, he was telling Joshua, not only are you going to soar and rise high in the air, you are going to flourish where you are. You are going to abundantly blossom. He said, you are going to grow, Joshua. You are going to spread. You are going to spring up. And a couple of things started standing out to me. And the next scripture that we're going to go to is Isaiah 54. And in Isaiah, the 54th chapter, we're going to learn about expansion. We're going to learn about flourishing and blossoming. But before I go there, Ira Kelly, he wrote a song that says, I believe I can fly. And in the words of the song, it says, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every day. Spread my wings and fly away. And then he says, I believe I can soar. And I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. And I said, my God, how many times have I encouraged other people about that song? When I tell them, I believe in you. I believe you can fly. I believe you are that butterfly. I believe you can soar. I see you running through that open door. And I had to make that thing personal. I said, God, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. And it became personal. And I had to go back to the promises of his word, because not only was Joshua, was God speaking to Joshua, but God was speaking to me, and God is speaking to you. And God has promised us that we are going to grow and that we're going to blossom where he has planted us. Because God gave divine directions in the word of God when he said, arise, go over this Jordan. And wherever you are today, and let me say, wherever you was last year, 2019, God brought you out of 2019, and he brought you into 2020. So you arose, you got up, and you came over. So here we are in a brand new year, a year in which we are going to experience unstoppable and undeniable victories in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this year, we are going to experience a great move of God, that God is preparing us to be strong and of good courage. And I'm going to tell you why. Because God made you, God made me, God made Moses, God made Joshua, and R. Kelly's song is significant. God created you. He knows that you can fly. He knows that you can touch the sky. He knows that you've been thinking about it every day and night. He knows that you can spring your wings and that you can fly. God knows that you can soar because he created you. You know, there's a scripture that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up on the wings of an eagle. Why do you think that that was in the Bible? Because God knows that you can soar. God knows that you can fly. And tonight, God wants to encourage you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, Joshua was with Moses. He was right on the front line. The Red Sea was before them, and Pharaoh's army was behind them. And Joshua witnessed a mighty move of God, just like you are about to witness a mighty move of God, because God has equipped you to fly. Now, some of you, you know, we're all on different levels, but when it comes down to spiritual warfare, sometimes when we are in flight in the spirit, God will take you in the spirit, and you will fly, and you will soar, and he will show you things. He will show you mysteries, and all we have to do is be obedient to the things that God is showing us, be obedient to God's divine instructions. And even if you do what God told you to do with a little bit of fear, guess what? Feel the fear and do it anyhow, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And they that wait upon the Lord. Are you waiting upon the Lord tonight? Are you being impatient? Are you leaning to the left? Are you leaning to the right? Are you leaning to your own understanding? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. So Joshua, all of this training that he received with Moses, Joshua knew that if he put his trust in God, that everything was going to work out according to God's plans and God's purpose. So in Psalms 56 and verse 4, it says, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And I want you to know today that God made a promise to Joshua, and God made a promise to Moses, and God made a promise to you. And that promise is found in Joshua, the first chapter in the fifth verse. You see, the word of God is true. There is no failure in God's word. So I'm about to prophesy to you tonight. I've been prophesying to you since this, since we started. But everybody is running around to man, and they looking to man when they need to be looking to God. We need to lift our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help, because all of our help comes from the Lord. And Holy Spirit, my God, you are giving me so many scriptures right now. Because cursed is the man that put his trust in man. Now, I'm going to go back to Psalms 56 for a moment. In Psalms 56, it says, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. But the word of God also tells us that cursed is the man that put his trust in man. So we don't want to put our trust in man. And because I'm hearing it, I'm just going to go to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. But I don't want to lose my the point I wanted to bring out based on what we just read in Psalms 56. Psalms 56 in verse 5, it says, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. And immediately it says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. So let's connect that with Joshua, the 5th chapter, in the 1st chapter, in the 5th verse. And the word of God says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So this is a promise from God. It is a prophetic declaration. And God is saying, I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. And don't get me wrong. People will rise up against you, but they will not stand. They will fall down, but you are going to stand. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As long as you live, and don't, you know, we have to obey God, but even sometimes we fall short of the glory of God, and that's why we have to be thankful to God for his grace and his mercy. I don't know about you, but his grace and his mercy. God said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, Joshua, I am with you. Joshua, I will not fail thee. Joshua, I will not forsake thee. And immediately God said, I need you to be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And verse 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shall have good success. And I'm just going to top it off with verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And again, this is a prophetic declaration. Now, the prophetic instruction here is be strong and of good courage. So it's not optional. God is saying, be strong and of good courage. And in case you forgot, God made you. God created you. God knows everything about you. God has empowered you. God has endowed you. God has given you power and authority. We read in Luke 10:19 that says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So God is saying tonight, I don't care who stands before you. I don't care what eye you're going to come in contact with in this new place that I called you to. I have given you power and authority. I just need you to be strong and of good courage. Don't look to the left and don't look to the right, but lift your eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help, because all of your help is going to come from me. Now, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. This scripture is talking about God's divine presence. And how do we dwell in God's presence? How do we stay in God's presence? How do we enter into God's presence? A couple of weeks ago, I've been doing a series on Facebook, on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, on the page on Facebook, and I've been doing a series, teaching a series on praise and worship. And in the beginning of this series, we spent a lot of time talking about how we are to reverence God and how we are to go before him in a spirit of humility, and how we are to reverence him and honor him and love on him. And how, you know, God had told Moses to tell the people to sanctify themselves, and they had to wash their clothes before they came before God's presence. You see, we can't go before God's presence any kind of way. But in verse 5, it says, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so every time I read God's word, he backs up his word with another word, because Psalms 91, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I said, my God, God is confirming his word to Joshua, because he told Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And don't worry about it. You've been dwelling in the secret place. I'm covering you, Joshua. Under my wings you will find shelter. Under your wings you will find my truth. Under my wings you will find refuge. God's word is powerful. God wants us to take him at his word. And God said, be strong and of good courage. So I want to go back to the Hebrew word abir, and then the strong word, which is abar, which is to soar or to fly. And earlier I asked you all to stay with me, because we're going to go somewhere. So I just want to just recap for a moment the Strong's Concordance, the word parak, for soar. And it's to soar or to fly. And then I shared the song by R. Kelly, I Believe I Can Fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. Well, I'm going to show you a biblical definition of soaring. And so earlier I asked you to go to Isaiah, the 54th chapter. So we're going to take a look at verse 2. In verse 2, this is the word of the Lord. It says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. So in this verse, again, we find a prophetic instruction from God. When we are reading God's word, God will always release information to us, and God will release instructions to us. So in Isaiah 54 and verse 2, God is saying, enlarge the place of your tent. And for those of you that are listening those that are on the line and those that are listening by the internet, listen, God is saying to you tonight, I need you to show me that you can store. I need you to show me that you want to be obedient to my word. I need you to enlarge the place of your tent because I want to increase you. I told you that you was going to blossom. I told you that you were going to grow. I told you that you was going to spread. I told you that you was going to spring up. I told you that you was going to go forth. Did not I instruct you in Isaiah, the 60th chapter, in the first verse, to arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee? God has called you to arise. God has caused you to shine for him. And it's not for you, it's for him. God wants to use you for his glory. And God is saying tonight, I need you to enlarge the place of your tent. I need you to stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. And I don't want you to spare not. Don't put no limitations on me. And God is saying, take off the restrictions. Don't restrict me. Don't put no limitations on me. I want you to think big. I want you to dream big. The dream that I placed inside of you is too big for you. And it's just right for me because I am a God of enlargement. Now, I need you to lengthen your cords. I need you to strengthen your stakes. I need you to be strong and of good courage, because what I'm about to do in your life, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Oh, if you would just believe and receive the word of the Lord tonight, God is saying, I want to enlarge you. God has spoken. He says, stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. So that means stretch. And when you're being stretched, you're being pulled. But as you endure the stretching, my God, you want to reach your destination. And God said, spare not. Spare not. It's to have mercy for, or to say hold and reserve. It's extra. Not in you, spare not. As you can see, the word spare has several meanings. And so, spare not. I thought about the five wise virgins that had an extra oil for their lamp. But the five foolish virgins, my God, they didn't prepare. They spared not. You see, they didn't take God at his word. They was full of folly. They said, I got enough right now to enlarge my tent. I could go ahead and stretch my curtains right here. I got enough oil. But you know what? They didn't have enough oil. And they went to the five wise virgins to ask for their oil. And they did not share with them because they had ample enough time to prepare. Now, in this text, God gave a prophetic instruction from the very beginning. He shared information in verse 1. He talked about the death of Moses. He said, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. So that verse is talking about information. So the five wise virgins, they were wise. They prepared. They did what they needed to do. And they was expecting the return of Jesus. But the five foolish, they didn't take God at his word. So in verse 2, when God said, Moses, my servant, is dead, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. Guess what? When we're wise and we prepare and we got extra oil in our lamp, and a lot of time that extra oil, you're not going to get that extra oil by standing out on the outer court. You're not going to get that extra oil by everything going well in your life. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm not having any problems. Let me tell you something tonight. You get the extra oil through embracing the sufferings of Christ. You get the extra oil from being pressed. You get the extra oil from being persecuted. You get the extra oil from being lied on, talked about, betrayed. You get the extra oil by submitting to the process of being processed. Who is the Holy Ghost talking to tonight? The pressing gets the oil out of the olives. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went in a little further, is what the word of God tells us. And he went in a little further. You see, he pressed his way because he wanted to get some extra oil. And the five wise virgins, they wanted to get some extra oil, but the five foolish, they didn't have enough. So they wasn't able to stretch forth the curtains of their habitation. So I want you to encourage yourself tonight with the word of God. And I want you to take off the limitations and believe God, because he is the God of impossibilities. With man, we can't do anything. But with God, we can do all things. And the word of God tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, in Isaiah 54 in verse 2, it's the latter part. It says, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Well, when we lengthen our cords, we're going to add on like an extension. Lengthen is to extend. And although lengthen is to also make something longer, what I want you to see is the extension of your hands in worship. See, a lot of times when we read this text in Isaiah 54, we're thinking about the enlargement of our territories, which is okay. It's normal to think that way. And it can be the enlargement of our marriages. It could be the enlargement of our ministries. It can be the enlargement of our businesses. It can be the enlargement of our heart. We're growing with love. It can be the enlargement of kindness. It can be the enlargement of mercy, of forgiveness. You see, you have to take it personal for yourself and all of the areas where you desire to be enlarged. It is possible, but you have to believe. God gave the prophetic instruction, and in that prophetic instruction, he said, enlarge the place of thy tent. So if you want your tent just to be your tent and that's it, hey, to God be the glory. But if you hungry like me and you know that you can have everything that you ask for that's lined up with God's will, listen, I want it all. I'm going to enlarge the place of my tent, and I'm not just going to enlarge a physical place, but I want to enlarge my obedience to God. I want to satisfy God. I want to please God. Joshua wanted to please God. Moses wanted to please God, but they understood that they had a purpose. They had a job to perform. And everybody that is listening to this message, you are called by God, and God has given you a work to do. And whatever that work is, God is saying, enlarge the place of your tent, lengthen your cords. And with everything that we do, I want you to see the extension of your hands in worship. And I want you to understand that when we worship God in the midst of everything that we are doing, everything that we are praying, when we worship God, God speaks to us. When we worship God, God releases his mysteries. When we worship God, we receive instructions. Now, 1 Timothy, the second chapter, in the 8th verse, it says, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So let's pause right there for a moment. That's a Selah moment. God is saying, he will, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So God doesn't want you to doubt what he's saying to you tonight. Many of us, we are familiar with Joshua, the first chapter. And the title of this message is Be Strong and of Good Courage. And the context in which God told Joshua to be strong and of good courage was because he knew he was going to face some challenges. And he wanted Joshua to be prepared. So not only did he prepare him, but he said, I want you to pray everywhere, Joshua, and I want you to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And I believe he said without wrath because he experienced the wrath of God when he was with Moses and the people were disobedient to God. And the people doubted God. And after witnessing a mighty deliverance when God delivered them out of Egypt, and Moses was up on the mount talking to God, receiving spiritual downloads, spiritual instructions, prophetic instructions, so that he could lead the people to the promised land, the people got so tired and impatient, and they started doubting, and then they got angry, and they took matters into their own hands, and they began to murmur, and they began to complain. And the end result was God opened up the earth, and all of those that were disobedient and refused to repent, the earth swallowed them up. So this message is talking about being strong and of good courage, but it's also talking about obedience. You see, we can't serve God and do what we want to do. No, it's not going to work that way. We are not going to dictate to God how we're going to do what he's called us to do. We must submit and obey. There's no other way. And that's a song that we sing, you know, growing up. I will trust you and obey. Well, how well are you going to obey God in 2020? Because God just made all of these prophetic declarations to you. God just gave you a whole bunch of information, and God told you to be strong and of good courage. God told you that he gave you power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And God said, nothing shall by any means harm you. God said to enlarge your tent. He said, stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. So why did God say, strengthen thy stakes and lengthen thy cords? Why did God say, stretch forth your curtains? Why did God say, enlarge the place of thy tent? Why did God make all of these promises to us? Well, it's found in Isaiah 54 and verse 3. And I want you to understand that this is a prophetic declaration. I am prophesying over your life right now. In Isaiah 54 and verse 3, it says, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. And in verse 4, it says, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget, hallelujah, thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. My God, who is the Holy Ghost talking to tonight? God has removed the reproach. And in case you don't understand what God is saying to you tonight, I need you to go to Psalms, the 71st chapter, and we're going to look at verse 1. And this is one of my favorite verses. I say it all of the time. And it says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. And that word confusion really means shame. So God, I will not be put to shame. I will not be put to confusion for putting my trust in you. So tonight, some of you came to this line. I don't know why you came to the line. I don't know what you stand in need of. But some of you, you lost your breath. Some of you have experienced some things, and it caused you to back up. And it caused you to doubt God at different times in your life. You had some faith engagement, but deep down on the inside, you was in agreement with what God said. And you began to speak God's word, and you began to pray God's word, and you began to prophetically speak God's word over your life, but your situation wasn't changing. Your situation got worse. It turned dark, and you found yourself thinking about God's promises in Psalms 23 that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, it is in the valley of the shadow of death that you begin to doubt God. But God had to remind you tonight that I said I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want you to go through this valley, because as you go through, you see, we must enter a process where we go through something. But when we go through, we got to come out. When you go through, you can't stay there. When you go through, you can't stay stuck. And that's why God told Joshua in the beginning of this message, Moses, my servant, is dead. I need you to arise and get up and go over this Jordan. I need you to go through this valley of the shadow of death. Joshua is not even death. It's the shadow of death. I have not given you a spirit of fear, Joshua. I have given you a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And I just told you, Joshua, in Isaiah 54 and verse 4, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither will you be confounded, for you will not be put to shame. You will forget the shame of your youth and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. In verse 5, Isaiah 54, verse 5, I pray that you are being blessed by this message. I am. For thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. Now verse 6 is powerful. It says, for the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou was refused, saith thy God. And listen, God is saying, for a small moment have I forsaken thee. But with great mercies will I gather thee. God said in the little wrath, verse 8, Isaiah 54 and verse 8, in the little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. With everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains, hallelujah, the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that have mercy on thee. I need you to understand that 2020, you are going to experience the mountains departing, the hills removing, and God's kindness never departing from you. You are going to experience peace on a whole nother level, and God's mercy is upon you. Mercy, 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 God's mercy. So in verse 11, it says, O thou afflicted, have you been afflicted? Have you been tossed with tempest? God is saying, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of a gates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And in verse 14, I love this word. It says, In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. And the promise we have for that scripture, again, is in Joshua, the first chapter, and in verse 5, because God said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. I just need you to be strong and of good courage. And I need you to be strong and of good courage because, now I'm going to go back to verse 14 and then transition into 15. And this is why God wants us to be of good courage and to be strong. And this is why God was telling Joshua, be strong and of good courage. He told him several times in Joshua, the first chapter, he said, be strong and of good courage. Have not I instructed you to be strong and of good courage? Well, this is why. Now, let's go back to verse 14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Thou shalt not fear and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. And then immediately it says, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. And we all know verse 17 because we say it enough, we quote it enough, but do we really believe it? Because God wanted Joshua to believe verse 17. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So God is telling us tonight, I don't care what you go through. I have already given you the victory. You are overcomers. You are more than conquerors. You have won a great spiritual victory. Now, you are going to experience some things. There are some people that are going to gather against you. But I didn't send these people against you. But I guarantee you, I promise you, that whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. That's a promise from God. And I pray that you are encouraged. I pray that you are motivated. I pray that you got it in your heart that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what you see with your physical eyes in the natural, that in the spiritual realm, rakashata, in the spiritual realm, my God, you are going to see God. You are going to know that God is with you. God said, Isaiah 54 and verse 15, I'm going to read it in the Amplified version. It says, if anyone fiercely attacks you, it will not be from me. But dig this, whoever attacks you will fall because of you. He said, listen carefully. I have created the smith who blows on the fire of the coals and who produces a weapon for its purpose. And I have created the destroyer to inflict ruin. But no weapon that is formed against you will succeed. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. This peace, this righteousness, this security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, saith the Lord. So I want you to understand tonight, God is saying be strong and of good courage, because the purpose of those that are fiercely attacking you is all in my control. And I'm using it to perfect you. I'm using it to make and mold you what I have called you to be. You see, you are my battle axe. You are my weapon of war. God has given us power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Oh, you afflicted. Oh, you that have been tossed and you haven't been comforted, guess what? God is comforting you tonight with his word, because he is the God of comfort. God wants you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God wants you to get up from where you are. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So when we pray everywhere, listen, Paul is the author of 1 Timothy, and Paul wanted men to pray everywhere. No matter what you are going through, listen, God wants you to pray. Pray about it. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about the problem. Don't talk about the people. Don't focus on what the enemy is doing. Focus on what God is doing. Because what God is doing is bigger and greater than what the enemy is doing. No matter where you are, lift up, extend your hands. Now, when we extend our hands to God in worship, that's the yada praise. I mean, that's the yada. And we are extending our hands in worship. And that's when we say, God, I love you. God, I thank you. God, I praise you. God, I worship you. So, when we lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubt, and we pray to God, when we seek his face for all things, Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I'm coming to a close. But the last part of Isaiah 54 and verse 2, it says, strengthen thy stakes. So strengthen is to make strong. In Zechariah verse 4 and 6, and I'm reading in the Amplified Version, it says, then he said to me, this addition of the bowl of the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, my God. The oil is a symbol of the Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So what is God really saying? God has instructed us to be strong and of good courage, and God instructed us to enlarge our territory. You see, God was enlarging Moses' territory. God took Moses home, and he had to give over the assignment to Joshua. Joshua was enlarging his territory by going forth. God told him to arise and go over this Jordan. And God adequately prepared him for everything that he was going to face. And dig this, God has adequately prepared you tonight for everything that you're going to face this year and beyond. You are fully equipped. You have been empowered tonight. You have been endowed tonight. And dig this, you had it that way before you even came to this line. Tonight is just a refresher course. Tonight is just a reminder. Tonight is an opportunity to allow God to breathe the breath of life upon you. Tonight is a night of victory. Tonight is a night of celebration, because you are going to arise. You are going to shine, because the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, and you understand the power and authority that God has given unto you. And you are going to take God at his word, and you are not going to be afraid, and you are not going to be dismayed. You are going to put your trust in God. You are going to trust in God with all of your heart, and you will not lean to your own understanding, but you are going
going to acknowledge God in all of his ways. I know I gave you a lot of scriptures tonight. I didn't give a lot of my words. And I tell you, if I ever give you a lot of my words, you better not listen, because I don't have no power in my words. The power is in the word of God. And whatever you are going through, I want you to understand, God is saying in Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So are you excited yet? Is your spirit leaping for joy? Are you under the umbrella of God tonight in a place of safety? Are you under the shadow of his wings? Are you about to break forth on the left and the right? Are you about to experience new life, new beginnings, new mercies, new anointing, new strength, new courage, new prayer, new praise, new worship, new tongues, new growth? Is your hair growing back? Do you remember the story with Samson? He gave up his secret and they cut off his hair. He lost all of his power, but glory to God. In the end, he humbled himself and prayed to God. He actually repented. And God, he said, God, use me. And I'm paraphrasing. But God saw Samson's heart. And so as long as he was bald-headed, he didn't have no power. But the moment his hair started growing back, God restored his power. God restored his authority, and God allowed Samson to kill more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. Who is the Holy Ghost talking to tonight? Ah, Raka Shaka. Your hair is growing back. God has given you back your power. God has given you back your authority. God has given you back your voice. And God has given you back your identity. Every area of your life, your mind, your thought process, where the enemy has been speaking lies and you believe those lies, you receive those lies, and it changed your identity. It changed how you thought about yourself. It caused you to doubt and to waver. God, did you really say that no weapons formed against me shall prosper? God, did you really tell me that I was going to go to the other side? God, did you really mean it when you said no weapons formed against me shall prosper, because I'm going through some things. I don't even believe that I am who I am. Well, let me tell you something. Until you get lost in the process, my God, until you don't see yourself, until you don't see yourself, until you don't recognize yourself, you're not ready yet. You're not processed enough. Because let me tell you something. There is an experience. There is a wilderness experience. There is a tearing down that takes place. Serving God is not a glamorous walk. It's not a glamorous thing. We are going to suffer. And it's until we embrace the sufferings of Christ and endure hardships, we're never going to come into the fullness of what God has called us to be. Excuse me, and we'll never come into the fullness of what God has called us to do. And every lie that the enemy has spoken to you, every lie that the enemy has spoken to me, it is broken tonight by the blood and fire of God. And the spirit of truth is alive and well within each and every one of us. And as I come to the close of this message, I pray that something said has been a blessing to you. I'm going to say a short prayer. Then I'm going to open up the lines. For those of you that are listening by the internet, if you have any comments, please present them on the board, and I will respond to your comments, your questions. If you just have an encouraging word, please feel free to share. And for those of you that are on the line, if you do have a comment or a question, please press 1, and I will be with you. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you and we praise you for this message tonight. We thank you for the context in which you have called us to be strong and of good courage. And we thank you for allowing us to really seek you and to take you at your word. If there's any areas of doubt and unbelief, we thank you for removing it. And we thank you for helping us to come into agreement with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. And if you do have a question or a comment, you are free to share. I'm opening up the lines now. And God bless you. This is Stacy Lunsford, and you're listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. Our message tonight was be strong and of good courage, and the text came from Joshua, the first chapter, verses 1 through 6. And we also visited Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 19. We read 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 8, Psalm 71 and verse 1, Psalms 56 and verse 5, and we read Isaiah 54. And I'm giving these scriptures out so that you can read for yourself and study the word of God and come into agreement with everything that God has said. So do we have any comments or questions before we go tonight? And if we don't have any questions or comments, I thank you so much for joining me. I pray that you were blessed by the message. And I invite you to join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. We will have a guest speaker. And on the third Sunday, we will have Minister Taisha Thompson from Book of Life Ministries. And on the fourth Sunday, it will be Apostle R. H. Wilder Sr. And we welcome you to come back and join us. God bless everyone and have a wonderful night. God bless you.